Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's video is titled, Jesus Claimed He is God. It was originally recorded July 31st, 2022. Thank you to Tim, Janet, and Don for being involved. The scripture reading is John 8, 48-59.
Well, good morning and welcome. I'm pleased to see you here this morning. Nice sunny day, a little bit warm for long sleeves and long pants, but this we can deal with. Lord, it is good to be in your presence together. Thank you for gathering us this morning and with your family all over the world. Thank you for the great privilege that we have to come straight to you, nobody in between us and you except for your son, Jesus. Thank you for his gift that brings us life. Lord, we are aware of several who are mourning, who are sick. Bring your gift of healing and certainly your gift of peace in a very upset and troubled time. Lord, as we continue in our service this morning, we ask that we each feel your presence, the touch of your hand in our own hearts. We are so grateful for being able to come to you in this way, to raise our voices, to lift our hearts, and we thank you for this time together. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Today I want to talk a little bit about waiting and silence. Whenever I'm asked to get up here in this role, my mind always goes back to what Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And my mind then always goes to, but what is this? When he said this, do this, what is this? What, this? 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 What is this? But then I always answer myself as I have a little conversation. I can't change this. This is happening and I'm not able to change. But in remembrance of me has some way that we can vary it. Try to do something a little different. And today I want to talk about waiting as applied to Jesus. Hundreds of years before he came, there were prophets. And they, each generation, another prophet would come along and say, he's coming. And then years later, another prophet would come along and say, he's coming and he's going to do this or that. And then another one would come and say, yeah, he's going to come and he's going to say this or that. And then there were 400 years, no prophets said anything. 400 years of silence. Picture a internet blackout. 400 years. But for 400 years, parents told their children, he's coming. Be ready. He's coming. And they would tell their children, he's coming. Get ready. For 400 years. How many generations? I want you to marvel on that for a minute and think about that. When in the history of the world has anybody ever waited for somebody for 400 years? Gentlemen, you ever waited for your wife? And complained? That's nothing. 400 years of waiting in silence. No news. No internet. Marvel on that. And then, we know the story. It's why we're here. He came. He lived. He taught. He died. He was buried. He rose. And for 2,000 years, people have been saying, he's coming back. And they're telling their children, for 2,000 years, he's coming back. Get ready. Marvel on that for a minute. In the history of the world, we could say roughly 3,000 years, people have been waiting. Wow. Silence, sometimes. Yeah, we haven't had many prophets since he died. We've got the scripture. We've got readings. We've got things. 25 years ago, a woman in England started to write a book. And 23 or 4 years ago, she published the first book about a magical boy going to a magical school. And then a few years later, maybe the next year, she wrote a second one about his second year in school. And then another one about his third year in school. And school was a 7-year program for him. So she wrote 7 books. But after the 6th book, she stopped writing for a few years. The world couldn't wait. The world was going crazy. Some guy decided to write the ending himself without her help. He made up a story. He tried to publish a book to tell the world. The world doesn't wait very long. And it's getting worse. Recent study shows that in a conversation, how long is a pause until it becomes an awkward silence? Recent study shows 4 seconds. After 4 seconds in a conversation of dead air, suddenly we decide that's awkward silence. We're not very good at waiting. But we, collectively, humankind, waiting thousands of years. It's marvelous. It's incredible. It's worth our consideration. And if nothing else that proves that Jesus was unique, if not God incarnate, we realize that there's nobody else like him. And we honor that today. We remember his death, burial, resurrection, his bloodshed, and his body given for us. We remember that when we take that little bit of cracker, I hope it's cracker, a little bit of grape juice, and we continue to wait. We're part of that story. It goes on. We're telling others, he's coming back. Keep waiting. Let's pray. Our Lord and Father, thank you for your plan, for your design, for the hope that we have within us. We know that hope comes from you, that love comes from you. We thank you for being such a sacrificing God, for being such a patient God, for being such a loving God. We thank you for Jesus, for what he's done for us. And we pray that you'd bless each one here today and the cup and the bread that we're about to partake. All this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this they explained, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being with us today. As was read by Janet, that Jesus made this audacious claim that he is God. And yet, if we go back in history, even before Jesus was physically born as a baby, there were prophets who talked about the fact that Jesus would come into the world and he himself being God. So I'm going to start reading a very familiar passage written so many years before Jesus' birth, and you'll probably catch it right away. "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and a root, like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by God, afflicted by God. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For
the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. One of the most powerful scriptures, I think, in all of Holy Writ. I want to talk today about the claims Jesus made, the audacious claim that he and God are one. And then next week, I want to notice how Jesus lived out those powerful claims. But today, I just want to talk about how Jesus claimed he is God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the New Testament, I remember that Jesus made a claim or two about that. But when I went back and read many scriptures about it, it was a constant comment that he was making, sometimes subtle, sometimes very blatantly. So I just want to take a look at some of these scriptures. I'm sure that many of them, maybe all of them, are very familiar to you. In John 10, 24 to 30, it says this: the Jews who were gathered around him, meaning Jesus, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know my sheep, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life." If you were there and you heard those words, I wonder what we would think. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. 2,000 years later, those claims are exactly the same. The promise Jesus made to us is very much the same. So, a personal question: if you lived 2,000 years ago in Galilee and Jerusalem, and we saw this rather liberal rabbi named Jesus, and we heard him speak, would we believe that he is God in the flesh? Do people believe it today? Jesus wasn't silent about himself. He spoke plainly about his humanity and divinity. And many people just couldn't handle it. Jesus wasn't much into complicating his teaching, or even his own relationship with God as being God in the flesh. It just rolled off his tongue. But he just went around demonstrating the love of God. More than anything else, he wanted people to know that God loved them. And not to be upset to know that God loved them. And God wants that returned love as well. He went about demonstrating the love of God. He healed people. He forgave their sins. He taught the greatest command to love God and to love their neighbor. He gave people freedom. He gave them peace. He gave them hope. And oh yeah, he still does today. Listen to some of these comments that Jesus made. John 10 and verse 30. You can't get any clearer than this. I and the Father are one. There you go. Jesus preexisted with God even before the creation of the world. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence. Listen now, with the glory I had with you even before the world began. Many would say this is just an audacious claim that cannot be believed. And yet Jesus forgives sin. Remember the story of Jesus healing a paralytic, made an opening in the roof, and lowered him down. And when Jesus saw the faith of the people, he said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." Now, he probably wanted some complete healing. But your sins are forgiven. And as time went on, I think that person realized, oh yeah, that is the greatest of all things, sins being forgiven. Jesus is the ultimate judge. In John 5, 24, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. They have crossed over from death to life." And as Jesus made it very clear that he is the only way to the Father and not to be ashamed of it. In fact, Jesus said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this sinful generation, the Son of Man," Jesus, "the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." When he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Can you wait for it? Can you just imagine it? That it will be a reality. And our loved ones who have already passed catch a glimpse, but someday we'll all be together. New heaven, a new earth, a new creation, where we'll see. I just often think of, "Jesus, do you have a couple of hours to sit down and chat?" "Sure." "God, can I spend some time with you?" "Sure." "Mom and Dad, can I spend some time with you?" "Sure." It is our reality. And it was talked about even before he went to the cross. To me, it is a profound statement that God is love, and he proves it over and over and over again. That's probably why John 3:16 is the most quoted passage in all the Bible. He loved all of us, all of us. And then Jesus wants all of us to demonstrate it. He asked people to be baptized. And I think it's important to realize it's just not a teaching. Jesus asks us to do this. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me." In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to see who God is, I am God. "And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." It's that demonstration, like we just had a communion, taking that little bit of bread and that little bit of juice. It's this, always this powerful demonstration, as simple as it is, to know just how much Jesus loves us. And then this promise, and I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm always with you, even to the end of the time. Jesus claimed that he is the ultimate judge. John 5:24, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Can you picture that? We have already crossed over from death to life, even though we're still alive. We have crossed over in the mind and the heart of God. We've already done it. It's taking place. It'll be a reality. He speaks as it happening. And the voice of God will hear that voice. And the Father has life in himself as he's granted the Father. And Paul reminds us, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't know if this is coming across or not. I guess my purpose today in today's sermon is just to remind us of how God sees this right now and how we saw people in the past, present, and future, and how we will be with him, a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus claimed that he is the only way to the Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then in John chapter 14, you recall this story. When Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Really? I think a lot of people say that today. Just show me. Just show me, and that'll be enough. He shows himself every day. Every day. Especially when you talk to him. All fetters are falling off. It's just you and him. And that's what he's saying. And so Jesus said, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I and the Father are one and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. And then Jesus claimed that he had authority to forgive, to save, and to condemn those who have turned away from Jesus, who are ashamed of Jesus. Not just the fact that they don't believe, but they're actually ashamed, embarrassed by him. Ashamed and embarrassed that we're here. How could you follow such nonsense? And yet, that was true 2,000 years ago. Jesus was trying to make those claims a reality, and they are a reality. But there were people who absolutely said, no way. And there are others that said, absolutely, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And then it goes from glory to sadness, that his death for our forgiveness takes place. Jesus predicted his death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. He must be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he spoke plainly about this. And you know the story. Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke Jesus. I can almost see it. How dare you say such a thing? But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Don't believe Satan's attempted lie, Peter. Don't believe it. It's not true. Everything that I've said to you, is true, is happening, and will happen. Same for us. So the way of the cross is too much to almost comprehend. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to live their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed." And then Jesus claimed he is due honor, just as God is honored. If we want to understand what's important to God, we just need to look at Jesus. In his defense, Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." That's a reality for us. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And remember the claim that Jesus said, God the Father and Jesus are one. Jesus gave him the very answer. "I tell you the truth, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." I was thinking about that today. How many times have you been amazed because you knew it was God who did it? For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to him he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to Jesus, that all may honor Jesus, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor Jesus does not honor God himself. And very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. He already welcomes us, even before we're there. Paul said these words, "No one lives to himself." No one lives to himself alone. No one dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether we live or we die, help me, we belong to God. Yeah. It's just taking our breath away. Jesus claimed loudly and clearly that he wants to save every single person, including every person here today, including every person who honestly, for some reason, just says, "I don't believe in God." And so there is a great permission. It's called commission. There's this great permission. You are permitted to come. In the Wizard of Oz, that ugly, ugly witch wanted to keep them away. And yet, no, that wasn't going to stop. They were going to be welcoming. It was going to be a celebration. Had to go through some difficult times, but it was going to be a celebration. So then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And I love the last part. And surely, surely, I will be with you always. Always. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever chooses not to believe stands condemned because they haven't believed. And God wants them to believe. So my conclusion today is a repeat of my introduction. And now you become selfish. In conclusion, if you and I lived 2,000 years ago in Galilee or Jerusalem, and we saw this guy, his name was Jesus, and some of us remember him when he was a kid and a teenager, and all of a sudden he started to speak. What he said made sense, but we know him. And we know that he was unjustly killed. And yet, they say that that blood that was shed forgives us of our sins. Would you believe it? Would you go home to your family and say, I think I just met the Messiah? That's the question. And because we've lived so far on this side, I think it's important to continually be wowed by the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we close this morning. I'd like to read from some parts of Isaiah, as Isaiah 40 is, an encouragement and a prayer into our week. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.